This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. This is setting forward some interesting, powerful things, isn't it?
Very powerful.
Yeah. So he knows by understanding revelation of the Spirit, if you will, that there were going to be those who would depart from the faith, devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons.
Wow.
So teachings are really critical, aren't they?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And their source is critical.
Yeah, I would think so. And this is not teachings saying that there are such things as demons.
Yes.
Against one particular group. No, teachings coming from demons.
From demons, that's
demonic
right.
Teachings.
Right.
And the Spirit there, of course, is the Spirit of God, not a third person, but either God or Jesus speaking in their operational presence and power. The Spirit, the mind, but very personal.
Yes.
Right, God Himself speaking or Jesus speaking, doesn't matter, either of those two works well.
Right.
Explicitly, quite definitely then, that in later times, or latter times, doesn't matter, the latter times to where Paul was, isn't that awful? Apostasy from the faith now, from the faith,
isn't that something?
Leaving the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and demons are the same thing, unclean spirits, demons.
Right.
And some of the sayings of these demonic forces are striking. Forbidding marriage? Do we know of a group that is forbidding marriage? This is unconscionable to say that all men, in order to qualify for office, must be celibate. That's staggering and startling because it's so contra to Scripture.
Yeah. That's quite the opposite of saying to be the husband of one wife. How did we get twisted in this to that point?
How do they get away with this?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So it's interesting then that the teachings of demons, interestingly enough, can come in different ways and forms. Because you might say, well, the teachings of demons are going to be very allowing and freeing, and so that they would play to the flesh and so on. But it's interesting here that the teachings of demons might be very confining.
Exactly.
In other words, but yet it's still demons coming from whichever direction or whatever direction would be needed. So now we're going to say, dietary restrictions and don't eat these certain foods and so on, and don't be married. That would be so. It's interesting.
It is fascinating.
Either way, the demons are coming.
Yes.
And in one time, they're going to be appealing to the flesh.
Yes.
And fleshiness in that sense.
Yes.
But another time, they're appealing to the idea of greater holiness than as you would say, even Jesus.
Would be condemned.
And
it is a good point. I hadn't thought of it in that way, but you're right. So legalism, measuring the length of hair to the centimeter, or the mustache, to the centimeter. This is just as evil, in fact, as a licentious view of life, where it doesn't matter what you do, you're saved anyway, so you could rob a bank every day of the week.
Either
imbalance
is
chronically
absolutely wrong. Yes.
False and dangerous.
Very damaging to people and their faith. Absolutely.
Yes.
I think it's interesting that Paul in the Colossians 2 thing winds up saying further than he says, these things seem to have wisdom.
Yes.
The touch not, taste not, handle not, seems like wisdom. But he said, this doesn't, what are we worried about this stuff for? It's all stuff that perishes with the using. It's just passing things. We're not going to build our religion around those kinds of things. So,
And also the worship of angels in that passage.
Yes. Yes.
There's one large denomination which should pay careful attention to that, where they've got an angel Jesus central.
Yes.
And they're worshiping as not as God, but as an angel Jesus. That's extraordinarily dangerous, especially because in Hebrews, as we know, to which angel Did God ever say? He never said to an angel,
yes,
sit at my right hand.
That's right. That's right.
That ought to exclude the angel Christology, right, flat out. I mean, okay, how much plainer can you be than
that? Oh, my land, yes. If you put these things before the brothers,
yes,
you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith, mm-hmm, and of the good doctrine, mm-hmm, teaching, mm-hmm, that you have followed.
Mm-hmm.
Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life,
yes,
and also for the life to come.
Right.
The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hopes set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people,
mm-hmm,
especially of those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Command and teach these things.
Wow.
Let no one despise you for your youth. But set the believers an example in speech and in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Wow. Just tremendous, tremendous.
Very, very concentrated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every word in place, mm-hmm, there. Mm-hmm. I like at the end where you're reading about the teachings, and they are then to be guaranteed as saving, mm, those who hear you.
Right.
So how important is teaching?
Yes.
Essential to the whole Christian enterprise.
Well, something else.
Yes.
But so I think he's really coming clearer in his direct address to Timothy.
Yes.
And he's telling him in this series of exhortation instructions, mm-hmm, he says, put these things before the brothers. You'll be a good servant of Messiah Jesus if you do that. Being trained in the words of faith and of good teaching that you have followed. So Timothy had been instructed and taught by Paul, and it's wonderful, wonderful things. And he says bodily training is of some value. That's good. But he said godliness of value in every way. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Yes. Life of the age to come.
Yeah, yes.
Life of the coming age.
Verse 9, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe.
Yes, that's a good text, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, those who are engaged in believing in that living God are doing better than those who haven't come.
Certainly, that's right.
But he is potentially the Savior of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I like that very much, that living God, because in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, you turn from idols to accept the one living God and to wait for his Son. You see, you've got God and man, God and God, God and man. The whole book is about God and man, not about God and God, much less God and God and God. This is very easy. God and man. We don't want to throw away our Bibles with a misconception of what it's all about.
Yes, yes.
About one God and the man Messiah Jesus.
It's beautiful. I like, too, this is, again, he's talking about God, the Savior.
Yes.
Oh, we love that. And Paul is going to tell us again that Jesus is also our Savior by the plan of God. God is saving his people through Jesus, if you will.
Always. Everything through him.
Yeah,
yes, indeed.
It's wonderful. Yeah. This is great stuff. I notice Timothy has authority in many ways. Look at verse 11, command.
Mm.
command, yes, and teach these things. So he's giving directives, if you will. He's commanding, I think, directing the people.
My NSU margin has a nice, keep commanding and teaching. Keep on.
Yes, I see.
It's a battlefield. I mean, we're an army. Christians are supposed to be an army. They must have a general giving orders. Mm-hmm. It better be done gently, not in an autocratic way.
Yeah.
But you can't function as an efficient army if you haven't got some people giving orders, have you?
Yeah, that's
here
right.
they are. You know,
well,
keep
that's right,
commanding,
that's right.
Keep exhorting these people to follow the truth and not get in fatal errors.
Yes, indeed.
That's the danger.
Which can even be in the form of doctrines of demons.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't that amazing? Exactly. Which is what the onset, frames right. this when you think about it.
Demonic influence.
Yeah.
But what about the subtlety of the doctrines of demons?
Oh,
demonic
name, yes.
things
that's
being
right.
spoken from the pulpit, which are sheer error, are poison.
That's right.
I meet people, I think you do too, who say, really, I'm not quite sure what my church teaches.
Yes, that's right.
It's hard to say. Yeah. You know, it's a good, gives me a good feeling. I like the music and so on, and the fellowship. But what do they really teach? I'm not sure. It isn't quite clear. That's a warning sign. You need clarity in the teaching you're receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is giving it here so well, isn't
he? Oh, he is indeed. And it's so interesting how much of what Paul has to say to Timothy relates to the teaching.
Absolutely.
And it's the soundness of the teaching and the solidness of that.
Yes.
And so he says at the end there, he's saying, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching.
Yes.
Persist in this, because by doing that you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Isn't that powerful?
Hearers, people listening to the teaching.
Save yourself and those who listen to you.
Yes, isn't that lovely?
Without it, you won't.
So, wow.
I find that powerful. I like the words of the faith there. Jesus has that phrase, you have the words of eternal life. Right? Where else are we going to go?
That's right.
We like this church.
That's
Jesus.
Right.
Your church sounds better than any other church. You have the words of the life of the age to come.
Yes.
Here you have the words of faith.
Right.
This must prove that the faith is more than an emotional feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
It's an instruction. It's
exactly.
a teaching, a doctrine in the broad sense.
Exactly.
Teaching. Very clear.
Again, this note about verse 12. A note about youth. He was talking about that with regard to those who would be overseers or deacons and those who they should be tested people, so to speak. But anyway, here he's saying to Timothy, "Let one know no one despise you for your youth." I think probably what he's doing is giving to him some really good advice. He's saying, "Look, Timothy." Conduct yourself in such a good way that no one will be thinking that young scallywag, you know, or this young guy, he's seasoned, experienced, so he's conducting himself in inappropriate ways.
Yes.
So don't let anybody despise you for youth. I think doesn't mean stand up there and tell them, now don't you despise me because I'm young, but it means conduct yourself in such a way that no one would be disturbed by his youthfulness. Conduct himself in a mature way, in a mature fashion, and carefully.
Apparently he did. We have no record of Timothy going astray.
That's right.
Wonderful.
That's exactly right.
Paul treated his students as children.
Yes.
I begot you. I became your father in the gospel.
Yes.
So the student relationship is key here for Paul.
Yes, absolutely. So, this is great. I love this. I love all of this.
Yes.
And
salvation for yourself and for those who hear you, that's very powerful.
It's by the teaching.
It is by the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And salvation is nothing less than gaining immortality.
Yes.
We do at the resurrection, not the moment we die, but we've got the germ of immortality in receiving the gospel. The
Surely.
Salvation is mainly in the future. You have to persist to the end.
Yes.
That makes the once saved, always saved thing very dubious.
Doesn't work,
Doesn't work. You've got your being saved in the New Testament. It's a process. You were saved, you're running the race. To gain the gold medal at the end, you've got to persist until the
That's
end.
Right. You've got to be there at the end, don't you?
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, somebody watching, going to the Olympic Games and thinking, well, the moment the gun goes off at the beginning, that's it. They wouldn't go. There's no interest in that
That's right. That's right.
It's who gets to the gold medal at the end that is really significant.
It's a lot, kind of like the writer of Hebrews says, you don't want the weak-kneed person running this race or be the person that's just zigzagging all over the field. You want to stay with it and stay right on track. So it's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.